Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You heard God make a promise today through the prophet Jeremiah. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. That was a promise. God's promise to the people of Judah as they were about to go into captivity in Babylon. They would be sorrowful. They would see times of sorrow and want because of their sins. They would go into captivity in Babylon for their idolatry. But then God promised to bring them back, to satiate the weary soul, to replenish every sorrowful soul, to have mercy on them, to provide for their needs as a loving father. It was a promise. God's promises are as solid as a rock and as immovable as a mountain. But even God's people, even Christians, are slow to believe His promises oftentimes because our weak fleshly eyes don't want promises. They want what they can see right here, right now. And they won't take anything else. Our fleshly human reason doesn't like to trust. It likes to understand. Why am I suffering want? What do I need to do to fix it? How will God provide for me? When will He provide for me? And human reason isn't satisfied, isn't satiated with anything that it can't understand. Jesus once said to His disciples, "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And there He goes again, making a promise. In today's gospel, we learn about faith. In today's gospel, we learn to trust in those promises that Jesus made, that God has made, as we see the merciful and compassionate Jesus keeping His promise for those 4,000 men plus women and children who had followed Him out into the wilderness, who had placed their trust in Him. Of course He gave them bread. It's what He'd promised to do. Sometime before this, Jesus had also fed 5,000 people, 5,000 men plus women and children, by miraculously multiplying 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. The 5,000 were fed after spending the day with Jesus, and they weren't far from the villages where they could have bought food for themselves. But Jesus on that occasion chose to feed them miraculously, especially as a sign, so that they would look to Him not only for physical bread, but much more, as the bread of life, for forgiveness and eternal life through faith in His name. That's what He did with the 5,000. But most of the 5,000 abandoned Jesus shortly after He fed them. These 4,000 were a different crowd. They had spent 3 days with Jesus, following Him, listening to Him, yearning to be where he was, even if it meant being far away from their homes, being out in the wilderness. They hadn't thought about food for however many days they would be with Jesus. They hadn't thought about their homes or their jobs or where food would come from. They simply sought after the one thing needful, as Jesus had once said to Mary, to Martha, as Mary sat at his feet. They had simply sought the kingdom of God and his righteousness in the person of Christ, in his words, in him as their Savior. In other words, they had done exactly what Jesus had told his disciples to do: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then, of course, Jesus remembered the promise he had added to those words. And all these things shall be added to you. All the things that you need for your body and life, your daily bread, as we call it in the Lord's Prayer. He remembered his promise to provide for his people. Not like an employer handing out wages at the end of the day to people who had worked for it, but as a kind and compassionate father feeds his children. Hear the words that Jesus spoke. I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far away. See the compassion of Jesus for these people who had followed him, all of them, no matter who they were or what they had done or not done. The only thing all these people had in common was that they were where Jesus was, trusting in Jesus to take care of them. And that's what faith does. It trusts in a Father who is merciful, not for your sake, because of who you are or what you've done or not done, but who is merciful for Christ's sake and faithful to his promises. Because you trust in a Father who has demonstrated his faithfulness time and time again. To have faith is to know that God is not lying to you. So when he promises to add to you all these things that you need for your body and life, faith doesn't need to see how he will provide or even when exactly he will provide. Faith simply says, yes, he will do it. And if he has to move mountains in order to do it, or as Luther once said, if he has to send his angels to dig bread out of the depths of the earth in order to fulfill his promise, he will do it. Unbelief says, no, he won't do it. Or even, I'm not sure he will do it. And understand this, that it's not only unbelievers who are plagued with that unbelief. I know that sounds strange. Unbelievers, of course, are unbelievers, but believers too carry around an unbelieving flesh all the time, so that part of you, the baptized believer in you, trusts in the Father and his promises, while at the same time the unbelieving part grumbles and screams, you can't trust him. That's the daily struggle of the Christian, aided powerfully by the Holy Spirit to beat down the old man and his unbelief and to tell him to take a hike. One man put this struggle into words when he confronted Jesus one day and fell down before him saying, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. You see an example of fleshly unbelief in the believing disciples of Jesus in our gospel as they challenge his desire to feed all those people there that day. His disciples answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" And it's as if those very same disciples hadn't been there with Jesus a few months before when he fed over 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But they were there. And yet, that's what happens when human reason takes over and pushes faith aside. Human reason says, you still have to provide for yourself. God may have been faithful last time, but he may not be faithful this time. You have to fix yourself. And if you can't, then you will die of starvation or of heartache. Because God will do nothing. God doesn't care. So again, God tells human reason to go jump in a lake. And he shows in the gospel what he does for those who trust in him. He multiplied the bread, the 7 loaves and the few fish, praises his Father in heaven, gives the loaves and the fish not directly to the people but to his disciples, and then in their hands multiplies them and instructs them to hand out the bread and the fish to the people, and feeds the 4,000 men plus women and children to the point that they are satiated, satisfied, to the point that there were 7 baskets full left over. Such is the grace of God and his providence and his faithfulness to his promises, who gives more even than we need. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. God fulfilled that promise for Judah when he brought her back from captivity in Babylon. He fulfilled that promise for the 4,000 out in the wilderness when they had followed him and trusted in him to provide. And he fulfills that promise every day that he puts daily bread on your table and clothes on your back, and the people in your life that you need around you when he knows you need them around you. What is meant by daily bread? We list a whole host of things in the small catechism, and it isn't exclusive. Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods. A devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. God promises in loving compassion to give you all those things, your daily bread, like a father who knows exactly what you need and when you need it. And his promises cannot fail. For I have satiated the weary soul and replenished every sorrowful soul. That's true of your bodily needs. But of course, God also fulfills that promise richly and daily for your soul. Jesus calls out, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Promise. Just this morning, a friend of mine posted this on his Facebook page. TGIS. Thank God it's Sunday. Why? Because as the world thanks God for Friday and a little bit of physical relaxation from work, the Christian thanks God for Sunday, for the Lord's Day, that marks the end of your labor as God gives you what He promises, the forgiveness of sins and righteousness before Him. Today you get to be with Jesus, to spend time with Him, just as the crowds 2,000 years ago followed Him into the wilderness, so you walk through the wilderness of the week and find Him today with His love and compassion. The same love and compassion He showed to the multitudes who followed Him, remembering that the same Jesus who spoke to them is the Jesus who still lives today, because as the writer to the Hebrews says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Here is the teaching of His truth. Here is dependable love. Here are faithful promises that cannot be broken. Here is the body and blood of Jesus that He gave into death for love of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Every other day of the week, you're out in the world, seeing the world crumble around you, struggling to survive, and experiencing the heartache of sin and grief and loss. But TGIS, because here in God's house on the Lord's resurrection day, together with God's people, you come to Jesus, maybe rejoicing, but often enough weary and frail and hurting and grieving. Maybe just barely hanging on by a thread, but trusting, maybe barely trusting, in His promises, looking for help, and you know that He gives it every time. He gives it just as He gave it in our gospel, through the hands of His called servants. You don't need to have Jesus standing here in front of you in the flesh in order to receive bread and mercy and forgiveness from Him. He speaks to you through me. He shows Himself to you as He is in the preaching of His gospel with all His love and compassion. He gives you bread and wine and His body and blood by my hand with a promise attached for the forgiveness of sins. There's even some of Christ's mercy and forgiveness left over. Left over so that you can go out into your daily life with something to offer to your neighbor in his or her need. Whether it's bread or mercy or time or hard work at your job or selfless love for your family at home or for your family at church. For I have satiated the weary soul and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Whatever you need in your life, whatever your Father knows that you need, He promises to supply it. He has already fulfilled that promise over and over again throughout history and in your life, and He will continue to fulfill it. Of course He will. He's made you a promise. So trust Him. He won't lie to you. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness in Christ Jesus, and all these things will be added to you. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.